Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 16th year. Today we feature a discussion with Anna Sainsbury, the co-founder and chairwoman of GeoComply and a trustee for Conscious Gaming, a nonprofit organization she helped to found that is dedicated to supporting responsible gaming across the land-based and online gaming industries in the U.S. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by Vector Solutions, formerly Casino Essentials, the leading e-learning provider of AML compliance training for the gaming industry. For more information, visit CasinoEssentials.com. In less than 10 years, GeoComply has been the go-to company when it comes to geolocation technology for iGaming and sports betting organizations. Co-founder Anna Sainsbury says the success means that she must give back to the community and help to develop Conscious Gaming, a nonprofit enterprise that is dedicated to spreading the word about responsible gaming across the industry. Conscious Gaming's PlayPause tool allows players to understand how to employ responsible gaming strategies. But a possible universal self-exclusion list will make it easier for the industry to identify players with problem gambling issues at all gaming touchpoints. She spoke with me from her home in Vancouver in January. Anna Sainsbury, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. It's good to see you. You know, we haven't seen each other for almost a year now, and you know, I like to run into you a lot during at the gaming trade shows, and of course we all loved your party at G2E every year, and you know, rubbing elbows with all the big guys in iGaming. So thanks for coming together today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I too miss seeing everybody at the parties in
Vegas. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we've known each other from when you started your company, GeoComply, and now you've become, you know, the leading company in geolocation across the country and around the world, as a matter of fact, for iGaming and sports betting. Tell us how sports betting has, the legalization of sports betting in the U.S. has impacted your company.
Well, it's been quite tremendous. I'm sure along with the rest of the industry, it's really allowed us to scale our team, scale our product, and really meet what players are demanding in the U.S. in terms of access to legal, fair, and audited sports betting. Right. So we're really happy to be a part of the journey and work with operators and new state regulators as the market opens up.
Great. Yeah, and it's your technology is so important. I was talking about some of the stuff that's going on in D.C., for example, where William Hill had got the okay to do mobile sports betting, but only within a 2-block radius of the what do they call the Verizon Center? I forget what it's called now. But you know, that really requires, you know, pinpoint geolocation, as well as in Louisiana, which certain parishes or the counties there, you know, are allowing it, others aren't. So again, you got to be very, very. So have you had to evolve your technology, or has it been developed right from the start?
Yeah. So the foundational concepts were always there for us, because actually the early days when we were really looking to prove out if pinpoint accurate and compliance grade geolocation could work in the gaming space, we were looking at the District of Columbia, and we always knew you couldn't place wagers or bet in government buildings.
Right.
So there was definitely going to be the need to have a state boundary and then boundaries within that boundary. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as more and more states have come on board, we have pushed our rules engine and how we originally thought about geolocation a tremendous amount. And if you look in Mississippi, where we have in-building geolocation, and we have deployed hardware to support that and actually get people down to a few feet instead of a few meters, which you might expect in states, it's definitely a progression. Right. And one of the biggest progressions actually comes into the fraud mitigation and fraud detection, as more and more people have started to stream television content and sports content. It's actually enabled the average user of the internet to start playing around with different technologies that would allow them to mask their location data on their device.
Sure. And I know, right from the beginning, when New Jersey went live as the first betting location for iGaming in 2013, there's a huge populations on the other side of the rivers surrounding New Jersey, in Philadelphia and New York City, you would think that, hey, we're close enough, right? But when it went live, you showed me the actual illustration of people who tried to get on, and you pretty much stopped right at the edge of the river there. That was pretty impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's those heavily populated border areas that have millions of people traveling across that border every day. It was something that before we launched in New Jersey, I definitely lost a few hours of sleep thinking about.
Right.
And of course, sending people back and forth those bridges to make sure that we could catch somebody every time, regardless of speed and method of transportation.
Right, right. Well, it's certainly, I think it's up the tolls on those bridges for sure, for New Yorkers coming over to New Jersey to make a few bets. So good job with that. But actually, we're here today to talk about GeoComply's efforts with a company, an organization called Conscious Gaming, which is kind of battling or supporting responsible gaming across the industry. Why don't you explain the genesis of that and why you decided to get into it?
Sure. Yeah. Because I'm the founder of a geolocation company, we had the ability to see how many users were crossing borders and how prevalent that was for our industry. And then, especially as I joined the AGA and joined the board, and they have a lot of initiatives for responsible gaming that are really pushing research and education and supporting operators to implement new processes and procedures, I really realized that we have a need for product and technology in this space to help support both the research that is coming out, but also what the regulators are wanting. And so there's a number of organizations that are doing really great things for responsible gaming, but none of them are really able to take that science-based and clinical knowledge and parlay that into a technology. And so because we had this oversight, we knew the need, we know that at the moment, self-exclusion is done on a state-by-state basis.
Right.
The issue with that is that if you have a problem and you're in New York, but you might go to New Jersey, maybe you go 10 times a month, you go to Vegas 2 times a year, you travel down to Florida. And as more and more states are, giving options for different verticals in terms of sports betting, casino, poker, lottery, the exposure is greater, and we really want to help extend. Someone takes the time to self-exclude with a regulator that we can hopefully, as we expand, extend that exclusion from the primary state where they're resident and they've excluded to all the states that would participate in this PlayPause technology that we've created.
Yeah, no question. So explain how that works then. Do you have to self-exclude in one state and that automatically goes across other states? How does that work?
Yeah, so actually at the moment we are up and live with Pennsylvania regulators. Right. So if you go to Pennsylvania and self-exclude, when you self-exclude, they give you the option to opt in to the PlayPause solution as it expands nationally. And what we do is, as Pennsylvania regulators will take your first name, last name, date of birth, social security number, and various other data sources to help exclude you. We then take a hash of that data so that we are creating a unique identifier and not actually storing anyone's personally identifiable information. Okay. We essentially take that user, create a hash, and then we share that hash with other operators that would opt in. So it would essentially mean that all of users that are participating in the gaming space would have a unique hash, which would allow for the distribution of those potentially vulnerable databases without having personally identifiable information.
Okay, great. So I'm assuming you're negotiating with some other states to become involved with them as well?
Yeah, so we've had tremendous amount of interesting and insightful conversations with numerous states, state regulators, State legislators as well are very interested in and what the capabilities are, as well as operators and platforms. So we're definitely really grateful to the industry for all of their interest and support and ideas on how we can best push this out as an industry. We really don't want it to just be conscious gaming. It only works if we all meet the requirements together, and that we all recognize that this is something we want to improve, and that we think that for our industry, it's going to be a way forward to actually care for our players and the general public.
Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting point, when you say the industry has to be united behind this. But it seems like every company, though, is developing their own responsible gaming system. And while that's very advantageous for their company, it doesn't really unite the entire industry. I've asked several of the companies who are developing these things, don't you think we should all get together under one platform? And they're very protective of their own system. Is there some way where we can blend those systems together, and certainly they can still be effective for each company, but it would also work with something like this?
So, if you ask me philosophically,
right,
there is no way that we should be competitive on responsible gaming.
Of course, right.
Like, the only way we're winning is if we're actually taking care of people's needs, right, and solving problems ahead of them. As soon as we're aware of them, we should really be doing what we can to take responsibility. So, for PlayPause and what we're doing at Conscious Gaming, we are more than happy to be a platform that integrates multiple different methods, especially as confidence is built. What we're trying to do to break down these barriers and to ensure that, we can get as much uptick and acceptance and integrations with the system is it's no cost for anyone. So it's a completely free solution. It's completely open. We want it to be community-based. So we're taking feedback from anyone that joins the PlayPause initiative, including regulators, operators, platforms. We want it to have the best usability. We want it to be the most secure solution, the easiest to integrate, and to really embrace as many issues that we can. So some of the operators and regulators had told us that, there is an issue with impermissible bettors. So a need for our industry to block people that participate or work in leagues or that are a player of a certain league from placing bets and wagers in the space. And so we've also extended the free solution out to all the leagues so that they can use it as a centralized database to share who is working for them, and then allow operators to not accept bets from those users. So we really want to ensure that the system can be as widely used as possible, free of charge for anyone, and to hopefully, as we can gain momentum, we can take in those other products and solutions that are research and science based, and deploy those for a better industry for us all.
Okay, great.
Fingers crossed.
Yes, absolutely. The GGB podcast is sponsored this week by Vector Solutions, formerly Casino Essentials, the leading e-learning provider of AML compliance training for the gaming industry. Find out how your casino can enhance your personnel's performance, ensure compliance, and protect resources. For more information, visit CasinoEssentials.com. iGaming provider, you know that payment processing is a very important part of the industry, and now there's a push toward more cashless transactions in the land-based and online side. In fact, this month in our March issue, we're running a story by a study by Sally Gainsbury and Alex Blazinski from Sydney University about some of the challenges that cashless gaming will bring to responsible gaming, and they're making a series of recommendations. Will you kind of incorporate this kind of information in PlayPause and conscious gaming?
Yes, of course. And we are doing a lot of research by ourselves on what cashless means, but from what we see, we can actually integrate directly into those cashless solutions so that actually somebody that is self-excluded anywhere in the US would not be able to participate with cashless, which we actually think ultimately benefits the land-based property's ability to accurately identify someone that's on a self-exclusion list, because it would be an automatic update. Our systems are real time, and of course there it's a wide network of responsible gaming databases that we'd be pulling from, and so for a lot of the different integration views that we've seen, we actually think that PlayPause would be able to enhance responsible gaming.
Sure. And you know, as much as there's some problems with cashless gaming for people who have a gambling problem, there's also the advantage that you get to see in total transparency and what they're spending, how they're spending it. So you know, there can be warning signs that go up, you know, way before, you know, they go broke, basically.
The technology is there to create these supporting solutions, and I think, you know, cashless, I get that it's the next step for our industry. And as we have all been mitigating the risks of coronavirus over the last year, almost every business is cashless now. So sure. It's really pushed us. And, you know, I think it's almost been a year for me since I've had a good amount of cash in my wallet to help me pay for anything. And no one would take it these days. They're like, they want you to tap without even letting
tap your phone. Right? Yeah. So have you mentioned you've had talked with state regulators and legislatures? What has your interaction been with some of the companies in the gaming industry?
So we have reached out to most platforms and operators, of course, and you know, they have a whole lot of feedback and so much insight. What we're really hoping to do is for mid-March, we're going to have a group integration call with the industry. So everybody will be invited to participate. We'll show what we have, how we see the integration going, what the benefits are, and we'll give a full update on which states have adopted it or are adopting it and by when. And so that we're really hoping that everybody will be able to receive a group update and kind of essentially leaving nobody behind. We want everybody to have the same opportunity to integrate when we're up and ready.
Are there elements of artificial intelligence in this technology?
You know, at the moment, the technology is actually quite simple. Mm-hmm. So the first concept is to integrate with the regulators and the operators and just de-identify those users. And then build trust by allowing the industry to see that one nonprofit provider can host a database of de-identified data and equally distribute that amongst all operators. And then what we're hoping over time is as we build that trust and as we have created strong integrations with the industry, that we'll be able to work with researchers and science-based information to then plug in more data and more insights so that we can help potentially proactively give alerts or warnings or participate in a way to help somebody that maybe hasn't excluded, but maybe excluded in the past or went on a cool down in the past, and just really work with the industry and researchers and clinicians on what is needed.
Okay. Well, you know, this could actually very help a lot of other areas of the industry. For example, as a iGaming affiliate provider in New Jersey, you know, we commit not to market to people who have self-excluded, but to find out who is self-excluded. They expect you to give them your entire, you know, mailing list so that they can see if who's on there. But, you know, once you let that list escape your hands, you never know what happens to it. But with a nonprofit, you know, responsible organization like Conscious Gaming, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with giving it to you, and you could tell me who I can't market to. So, is that something you're looking down the road as well?
Yeah, there's definitely the ability if affiliates wanted to plug in and could definitely remove users that were signing up to an affiliate business, mm-hmm. that we would be able to verify that data. We would just need to make sure that we would only be working with someone that is licensed and regulated in each state, because we want to make sure that even though it is de-identified data, that we're working with all official partners in the licensed regulated U.S. market.
Okay. How about some of the responsible gaming organizations like the National Center for Problem Gaming or the NCRG, the ICRG now, excuse me. Are you talking to them as well?
There's not a single person we're not talking to. No. Of course, we see them as, you know, they're holding so much information. And so they're a wealth of insights for us. Even before we really formed the organization, we were in contact with them, talking about what are the ideas, what are different ways we could implement it ahead of us kind of coming out with what our final strategy is. So, yeah, we've really found everybody in the industry, you know, stakeholders, not just operators and regulators, but all stakeholders have been really helpful and encouraging.
Okay, great. So where would you like to see this go? Obviously, you're going to wait for the March call, and I guess you'll get even more feedback after that. And what would you like to see this happen at some point?
And well, our goal is to be serving 70% of the U.S. traffic.
Okay.
By football season 2021. So okay. We're quite aggressive in our goals, and we have a lot of integration and work to do and conversations to have. But we're really lucky. Our core systems are working. Like I said, we're up and running in Pennsylvania. It's working really well. And it's been great to have a small bite of sure. Big Apple.
Right.
To start. And yeah, what we're really excited for is football season and to hopefully see ourselves up and running with a lot of the big multi-state brands for that period. And of course, continually having these conversations with new state regulators that are looking to achieve responsible gaming in a new state and to ensure that it deploys best practices and latest technologies.
Great. Well, Anna, I really admire your commitment to this. I mean, you've got to be crazy busy with GeoComply and all the new states coming on with sports betting and now iGaming, and you're committing so much time to this this worthy effort of responsible gaming. So thanks for taking the time to join us. We really appreciate it, and you know we'll support you all along the way. So any kind of publicity you need, we're here for you.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. Thank you for giving me the time to talk about what we're doing. I look forward to having a chat in September and telling you that we hit our 70% goal.
Absolutely. Well, we'll certainly follow up and you know, it's going to be exciting to see you in person again. So I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast brought to you by Vector Solutions, formerly Casino Essentials, the leading e-learning provider of AML compliance training for the gaming industry. For more information, visit CasinoEssentials.com. To learn more about responsible gaming in the gaming industry, visit GGBMagazine.com. To get all the news of the industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at GGBNews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.